interest rate on Italian debt reaches what had been called the point of no return.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi says he'll step down, but the real focus is on what's going up this morning, the interest rate on Italian debt, specifically 10-year government bonds, now well above 7%, a level that has led to bailouts in other countries. For more, let's bring in the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, who's with us now from London. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, why is 7% such an important level?
There are a number of particular concerns that this raises. First of all, for banks and pension funds and insurance companies, it's a level at which they start to get much more worried about the impact on their own financial strength because they hold a lot of these bonds. There's also the fact that, as people perceive it to be increasingly risky to buy these bonds, they may be reluctant to buy them at all, making it harder for the Italian government to borrow what it needs. And then there is the fact that if these interest rates were to persist at these kind of levels, it does make a substantial increase in the cost to the Italian government of borrowing.
And brings up the question of whether Italy would need a bailout of its own. And of course, it's much bigger than Greece. And Andrew, do we now have to start worrying about some of the other countries that we had put on the back burner in the crisis, like Portugal or Spain or Ireland even?
Yes, for sure. In the case of Ireland and Portugal, people are more worried about contagion coming from Greece. In terms of the contagion from Italy, I think the big worry is Spain. Also, perhaps France. Now, both those countries have seen the effective interest rate on their government debt rise this morning, although they're still a long way short, especially in the case of France, a long way short of the kind of danger levels that Italy has achieved. But it's certainly something people are watching very carefully.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, thanks.
My pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Well, stocks are down across Europe this morning. We are between 2 and 3% lower across the continent. Here in the U.S., voters in Ohio have repealed the state's new law limiting collective bargaining rights for unionized state workers. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 101 points to close at 12,170. Now back to Italy, where Prime Minister Berlusconi is likely to be replaced by a temporary technocratic government of non-politicians. That's a possibility in Greece as well. But is it a good idea? For answers, let's bring in LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, don't these technocratic governments in Italy or wherever end up subverting the will of the people?
Well, yeah, not to put too fine a point on it, but if the people's elected representatives can't get the job done, then where else do you go? And let's define our terms. You say technocrat, and it sounds like something out of a Doctor Who episode. In reality, what we're talking about are technical experts who are brought in to do the heavy lifting that elected representatives can't do because they're beholden to their constituents and have to get reelected and have to raise money and do all that sort of thing. To an extent, it works, but it does undermine the democratic process. It also reinforces the cynicism that many people might have that democracy doesn't work because when you elect people to do their jobs, they can't do it, and then you got to bring in ringers to take care of things.
Well, let's talk about the other end of the spectrum, which is what happens often in California when they have a voter referendum on an issue and really let the people decide.
Exactly. And you can't get more popular participation than that. But that process can also be easily subverted, especially when it's hijacked by moneyed interests that then take control of these ballot initiatives and guide them through the process and fund them. And in reality, what you're seeing is a special interest serving the special interest's needs. And that's not a perfect system either. So you have these two extremes, and both of them purport to help fix problems that democracy isn't fixing, but neither one of them is a perfect system.
Neither perfect. So what's the answer, David?
I have the Lazarus plan for you, Jeremy.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. And it cherry picks a little from both. On the one hand, when you look at the ballot initiatives, you clearly need more sunshine involved. You need to have much more transparency as to who's funding these things. When it comes to technocrats, I'm reluctant to say you want to bring in these guys every now and then to fix things, but it looks like you got to bring in these guys every now and then to fix things. So I wonder if the United States, maybe every 10 years or so, you bring in a technocratic regime to actually do all the heavy lifting that our elected representatives cannot do.
We'll send the idea on to Washington, David. LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best. The Knowledge Effect.
Well, we're just 15 days away from the biggest shopping day of the year, but forget shopping malls this holiday season. Retailers like Walmart and Sears want you to start using shopping walls. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith explains.
I checked out a Sears shopping wall at a movie theater in New York. It's a poster covered with photos of toys, like Hot Wheels and Let's Rock Elmo. Each picture has a quick response or QR code next to it. You know those ubiquitous black and white squares? If you take a photo of that square with your smartphone, it will whisk you to a website where you can buy that item.
The convenience factor of this is really exciting.
Marketing consultant Tracy Chapman says shopping walls are popping up in bus stops, subways, movie theaters, places where people have time to kill. Making shopping easy and fast is paramount these days. After all, the faster you buy, the less time you have to think about your budget.
Retailers who can make it a fun experience and bring back the fun of the shop are the ones that are going to win with consumers.
I scanned and rescanned the QR codes, but my cell reception in the movie theater wasn't good enough to connect me to any of the product pages. Looks like I'll be fighting it out at the mall after all. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, to a new survey that finds more than half of all college students would turn down a job if it bans access to social media at work. A third of them say the freedom to use sites like Facebook and Twitter is more important to them than salary. Please tell me that's not the reason why so many college grads are out of work right now. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
All-nighters, college prep courses, or outsourcing the entire application process? Which one do you choose?
There's a lot of pressure on agencies to write the application essays, to fake transcripts, to fake recommendation letters.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Chinese students go abroad. It's the first of a two-part series next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.